If you keep your booklet open there, you'll see that we have the Bible talk now, which is based on the story, the part of the Bible that Ben read earlier. And before we go through this particular passage, it's important for us to come before God again in prayer. And this time we're asking God that he would lead us and guide us and help us to understand what he has written down here for us in his word. So let us pray again. Our Lord and God, we come to you so thankful that even though you are a God that is so big, yet you have clearly revealed yourself to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it contains no lies, but it is from you who is true. And so we thank you that we can trust your word completely. We thank you for this portion of your word this evening. We thank you that it points to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so we pray this evening that as we look at this part of the Bible together, that we would see Jesus clearly, that we would see the salvation that he gives to us, and we pray that we would rejoice again in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Not long ago, I travelled to Western Australia. And in Western Australia, I was with some other students, people I study with at Bible College. We all study the Bible together, training to be ministers, to be pastors of churches. And we went over to Western Australia to share Jesus with people and also to help out a church that was in need, to go and run some programs, and we even did a sausage sizzle, just things like that. And so the church in Western Australia, as part of a thank you gift, they paid for our accommodation. But it was a very unusual place to stay. We stayed in an old jail, a jail where people used to get locked up. So here I was, a free man, walking around in a jail that had the big high walls, the big iron gates, no security guards, which was good. And I'm walking around as a free man in this old jail. Now, I used to get up every morning, and as I would head off to breakfast, I would think to myself as I opened a big door, as I looked at the old jail cells, as I even walked past a place where someone had died, I began thinking, what would it be like if I was actually a criminal in here? Here I am free, but what if I was actually locked up in here? Maybe I'm getting a little picture of what it would be like to be in jail. Now this evening we're not going to be looking at a woman that was in jail. She wasn't a criminal. But yet, she was a prisoner in her own body. She was trapped in her own body. It might not have been a jail with high walls and metal bars, but this woman, she was like a prisoner in her own body. She could not stand up straight. She was bent over for 18 years. Can you imagine that? 18 years not being able to straighten yourself. Can you imagine how painful and difficult her life would have been? But in this story, we see Jesus, he has the power to set this woman free. He has the power to release this woman from her suffering. And he brings freedom to this woman. So we're going to see three things this evening in this story. The first thing that we're going to see is that Jesus brings freedom. Jesus brings freedom, which is in verse 10 to verse 13. Second, we're going to see that God's day of rest proclaims freedom. God's day of rest proclaims freedom. And that's in verse 14 to verse 16. And then last, or finally, the story will leave us with a question to ask ourselves. Are we free, or are you free, in verse 17? So we start with the first thing. In verse 10 to 13, Jesus brings freedom. Now Jesus, in this story, we meet him in a place of meeting. He is in a Jewish meeting house. Now, a Jewish meeting house existed to facilitate people worshipping God. The Jews were commanded by God to set aside one day in a week to worship God, to sing praises to him, to pray to him, and to listen to God from his word. And that's what they would do each day of rest. And because Jesus is a Bible teacher, when he went to a meeting place, he opened up the Bible and he taught the people. He was a Bible teacher. And so this is very ordinary for Jesus to do, to be in a Jewish meeting place and to be teaching the people from the Bible. But this day is a little bit different. See, Luke, the man who wrote this account of Jesus' life, he tells us that there's a woman here. And if you were to read verse 11 again, as you'll see it in your booklet, it says there was a woman there, that's in the meeting place, that had a bad spirit inside her. It had lived there for 18 years and it had made her ill. She had to bend her back all the time. She could not stand up straight. Now Luke, he tells us that this woman had an evil spirit that caused her to suffer in this way. She was bent over and could not make herself straight. And she'd been like this for 18 years. Now I wonder if any of you perhaps have had bad back pain before. I'm sure it's not a very pleasant experience. But can you imagine being in this position, being this woman, not able to stand up properly? That must have been horrible. Think about all the things that she couldn't do. Think about how much pain she must have been for such a long period of time. There was nothing anybody could do for her, and this woman, you can see, she's a prisoner in her own body. She's trapped. But look what happens next. Look what happens next. Verses 12 and 13. Jesus saw her. "Woman, come here," he said. "You are better from your illness." He put his hands on her and immediately she could stand up straight. "How great you are," she said to God. "How good and powerful you are." Again, can you just imagine this? A woman who has suffered for 18 years. Jesus says, "You're healed." And for the first time in 18 years, she can stand up straight. And the first thing she does is give praise to God. She knows that only God could have brought this about. Only God could have rescued her. And she stands up straight and praises God for bringing her freedom. So how can Jesus bring freedom? How is Jesus able to give freedom here? Well, he can do it because he is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God who became man. Jesus is fully God and fully man. We can see that in the way that the woman reacted, can't we? She gave praise to God. She knew that only God could release her from her suffering. And the fact that Jesus healed her points to the fact that Jesus, he is God. Now, even though you and I might not be in the same position of this woman, I don't see anybody who can't stand up particularly straight this evening or is bent over, but the Bible tells us we are similar to this woman in the fact that we are tied up in our sin. We're tied up in our sin. Now, sin is saying we don't want God to tell us what to do. We don't want him to be king, even though he is king, even though he is the creator of this world. Sin is any word, thought, or action that shows we're the king of ourselves, that we're the ones in charge, and we pretend like God doesn't exist. And we're in a big mess because of our sin. Huge mess. Disaster follows whenever we go against what God says. And not only that, our relationship with God is broken, and we find ourselves a prisoner of sin. We can't help but do the wrong thing all the time, and we cannot free ourselves. And we're in the position of only facing God's punishment for our sin. We're in a mess. We're like this woman. We're tied up. And yet Jesus, this is the amazing thing, Jesus is the one who can bring freedom. He can release people. Jesus came not only to release people from being bent over, more specifically, he came to rescue people from their sin, from being tied up in their sin. And so that's the first thing we learn from this story. Jesus comes to bring freedom. But the second thing we see in this story, the second thing that we're taught, is that God's rest day proclaims freedom. And that's in verses 14 through to verse 16. Now this woman, she is really, really happy. She is free. She's proclaiming how good and great God is. She's telling everyone that she's been released from her suffering. But there are people here at this meeting house that are not happy, that are not excited, but are upset, that are angry. They are angry because Jesus, they believe, has worked on a rest day. They're incredibly upset about it. And so we look at verse 14, we read there, but the leader of the meeting house was angry. He was angry because Jesus had made a sick person well on their day before rest. So he spoke to the people. There are 6 days each week when we should work, he said to them. Come on any of those days and get well, but you should not come on our rest day to get well. But you see, Jesus, he knows that this is wrong. This is wrong. And immediately he responds to the leader. He says in verse 15 and verse 16, he says, "You are wrong," the Lord Jesus said to him. "You say one thing and you do something different yourselves. You each take your ox or your donkey outside on the day for rest. You then give them water to drink. Look at this woman," he went on to say. "She is in the family of Abraham, but it is like a bad spirit from the devil has kept her tied up for 18 years. So it is certainly right to make her free on our day for rest." Now, can you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying that God's day of rest is good. What God commanded to do, to rest on his rest day, was right. But God's rest day wasn't a day of cruelty. See, everyone knew that they needed to take care of their animals. In Jesus' day, everyone had animals. That's how they travelled. That's how a lot of them did work. And so they knew that even on God's day of rest, that the donkey that was in the stall, tied up, had to be untied and taken to water. They knew that that had to happen. The animal would have to be fed, would have to be watered, would have to be untied. And all of that was happening on God's rest day. It wasn't a day for cruelty. And see, Jesus says, how much more is it right for me to release or untie a woman who's been suffering all these years? Surely this lady who is worth so much more than an animal that we wouldn't even hesitate to go out and water. This woman, how much more appropriate is it that she be released on God's rest day? You see, God's rest day throughout all of the history of God's people was a day to celebrate the fact that God is a saving God. God is a God who delivers. God is a God who releases his people from bondage. This is what was to be celebrated on God's rest day. Indeed, it's the reason why Christians meet on Sunday, God's rest day. We come to praise him for all the wonderful things that he has done. And especially we praise him for sending Jesus. For it's on this day, on Sunday, that Jesus rose from the dead. This day, we celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Jesus took the punishment we deserve for our sin. That Jesus rose from the dead, and through all of that, he released us who were sinners, trapped, only fit for punishment. He released us by his grace, his mercy, and his love. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. That's why Christians celebrate God's rest day on Sunday. That's why we gather to sing. That's why we gather to pray and to hear from God's word. Sunday proclaims that Jesus has won freedom. He really brought freedom. So can you see the two things that we've seen from this story? The first thing we've seen is that Jesus, he brings freedom. The second thing we've seen from this story is that God's rest day proclaims freedom. And so we're left, finally, with a question. A question to ask ourselves. Are you free? Are you free? Now the meeting house leader, he was ashamed. All of the other religious leaders that sided with the meeting house leader, they were also ashamed. They realized that they were wrong, that they had not been compassionate, that they had missed the point of what God's rest day was for. And we see the end of the story in verse 17. These words caused the leaders of the meeting place to feel ashamed of themselves. But all the people there were very happy. They were happy because they had seen Jesus do many good and powerful things. Everybody was excited about what Jesus had done here. This woman, perhaps she was a member at this meeting place for a long time. They may have seen her over 18 years struggle to even get in the door and not know how they could possibly help her. And yet in one Sunday, it was all changed, all because Jesus freed her. And this woman, of course, she was the happiest of them all. God had brought her freedom after 18 years of being tied up in her own body. And so we're left with a question to ask ourselves. Are you free? Are you like the woman in the story? Do you know this evening that you are tied up in your sin? That just like this woman had no hope, you too don't have any hope of being released from your sin unless Jesus brings you freedom. Do you know that this evening? Do you know that you cannot free yourself? But if you turn to Jesus, if you turn away from your sin, if you turn to Jesus, Jesus who went to the cross and died and took upon himself the punishment that you deserved for your sin, if you turn to Jesus, you will be released from your sin. And you will be brought into a right relationship with God. And again, this is all because of what Jesus has done. This is Jesus bringing freedom. So we've seen in this story that Jesus is the only one who can set people free from their sin. We've seen that God's rest day is a day to celebrate the fact that God has brought that freedom through the work of Jesus. So, the only question we have left to ask ourselves tonight is, are you free from your sin? Have you put your trust in Jesus, the only one who can set you free? Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful account that we have in your word of when your Son, the Lord Jesus, healed this woman who had been suffering for 18 years. And yet in your grace, you released her. And we thank you for the wonderful picture this gives us of what we are like before you. That we are bent over, we are prisoners of sin. And yet for all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus, they will be released from their sin and brought into a relationship with God. Our Father, we pray that you would impress that truth upon our hearts, that you would place your word upon our hearts. May we ever and only rejoice in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. For we ask all these things in his name. Amen.